Hi, everyone, and welcome to 4Panel, the latest addition to the Geek Show family. This show is all about comics, manga, anything to do with graphic literature, and, you know, if it's on paper and in pictures, we're going to talk about it.
Meh, sometimes
within
not
reason,
even in pictures.
Within reason.
Meh, depending on what it is. Maybe not even with pictures.
Yeah.
I've seen comics that are strangely just words, but still
that
comics.
That would be a book.
No, there's... I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it's a very clever story that was done... is written as a comic, but done via word rather than image.
For a second, I thought you meant Microsoft Word. I was thinking...
I'll try and find out the name for you. Cause
yeah, I'd be interested in that. I'm not sure how it works as a comic without the pictures.
It's like panelled and stuff, but with words.
Interesting.
And like the way they're written... like shows the expression stuff in which they're done. It's like a cross between a comic and a book.
Okay, I'd be interested in having a look
a
at that.
A book comic, if you will.
A bomic. It works.
Yeah.
Because it can't be a cook. That's already taken. Anyway, how are you this week, Ben?
I'm good. Quite tired.
Yes.
Always tired.
We are your hosts, Rob and Ben.
Yep.
You'll also find us loitering on... Keyframe, our new animation show, and somewhere around the corners on the Geek Show as well. So, yeah. What are we talking about today? We've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we've got a huge back catalogue of things we've been reading.
Yes. What are you reading at the moment, Ben?
At the moment, I'm going through the new Flash, the new 52 version. I'm reading through Tank Girl Solid State. Girls of the Wild, a webcomic I've started reading.
Yes, you're enjoying that as well.
Oh, I am. It's very good. I'll be talking about that a bit later.
Yes.
What about you, Rob? What have you been reading?
Lots of things. I think it's more the question, a short list is, what haven't I been reading? I've been reading Vinland Saga, which I'm still reading because it's an ongoing thing. Gundam Origins, which is an interesting one. Witchcraft Works, just like you.
Yep.
What else? Girls of the Wilds, just like you, but also God of High School, Tower of God, Karate Shikoshi, Koinata Minoru. I've been reading a lot of martial arts manga lately. I don't know why. I kind of went off with superhero comics, and I've been reading a lot of kind of horror manga and martial arts manga lately.
Over the last year was the first time I really started getting into comics itself. Like, I've been big on manga and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm getting into comics, I'm getting into the whole superhero thing. So, got a bit of a different side to you there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read a lot of sports manga as well.
Yeah.
I quite like the sports manga, you know, stuff like Last Inning, Rookies, Diamond No Ace, which are all baseball manga, Baby Steps, and The Mighty Prince of Tennis, which obviously are all about tennis. I've just started reading an interesting one about sumo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really weird, but it is entertaining because it's a shonen sports title. I can't remember the name of it, but it has the last name in the title is Zumo rather than sumo. And It's kind of weird because it's about a high school team that's basically all but disbanded, and then a little guy comes along and he's basically built like a brick outhouse, but nobody thinks that he's going to be he's any kind of threat in sumo, which is full of large men, you know, very large men in loincloths. Nobody thinks of anything, but it turns out he's this guy called Onimaru, and he was put into the classification of, like, the future kings of sumo when he was a kid.
Yeah.
But then he didn't actually grow up. He didn't actually grow any taller, so he kind of disappeared. And now he's back and ready to take on the world of sumo again. I'm like, okay. And it got interesting from there.
Yeah, it sounds like a... Actually, it sounds quite normal for a sports manga, sort of the underdog who's meant to be something great but wasn't. And now he's trying to prove himself.
In general, in sports manga, what you have is stuff that's kind of in the mold of Eyeshield 21, baby steps, that sort of thing, where you have somebody who's really got no real experience with the sport in with that sport in question. You have other ones like what was it? Kuroko on a Basket.
Yeah,
where you know the character of Kuroko, he obviously was the Phantom Six Man of this super high school, middle school basketball team. Now they're in high school. They've all gone kind of Romance of the Three Kingdoms, all their separate ways. But yeah, anyway, we're kind of getting off the subject there. Sorry. But we are talking about things that we love, so I don't see any problem with going off at tangents like that. Do you, Ben?
Makes more fun to talk about what you love than just talk. That makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. Anyway, there's a lot of things that that we do have to talk about this week. Well, how about we start off with a bit of Vinland Saga? What do you think, Ben?
Sure, sounds good.
Okay, this is just a quick review because we have reviewed a couple of these on the Geek Show, so this is more of a quick recap and an introduction to the story. Vinland Saga is a Viking manga. And the two sound like they don't go together. But it's essentially the story of the boy Thorfinn, son of Thor's, and the journey he takes in becoming a man, essentially. Yeah. The manga is actually quite brutal because it is set during the period of the Vikings and their invasion of England. And it is set in, you know, a lot of it is set in England and then in Greenland. So the artwork is kind of manga-esque type thing.
Yeah.
But it does have an emphasis on a certain realistic style, you know.
Yeah, well, like, I haven't read it, but just looking at it, it has got, like, it's a nice in-between between realistic and manga.
Yeah. Yeah. But the content of the story can be brutal at times. I wouldn't say it was an uncivilized world. I wouldn't say it was a harsh world at that time, but the rules were very, very different then.
Yeah,
and that is reflected in the manga, just in the treatment of prisoners, of dead bodies, of things like that. It's an unusual manga, but I'd say it's one of the best I've read.
Yeah, it deals with a period in a style that doesn't get explored much.
Yeah,
you don't see that like these. So the people, the way people are treated, this is either like in most manga, it's used as, oh, this is a way to sympathize, see how bad, but these are just bad things that are happening.
Yeah.
It's not treated as though this is something that you sympathize for. This is just something that happens.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I really like about the story is the development of the characters.
Yeah.
You know, the authors paid, Makoto Yukimura, who's the author, paid a lot of attention to developing the characters in kind of a naturalistic way, a brutal way.
Yeah.
It's actually, when you think about it in hindsight, you can understand how the characters developed from particular events to particular events. And I like the fact that, they paid attention to it. It's not that suddenly the character has become stronger, you know, faster. And
you see the struggles from them getting becoming who they are rather than them just becoming.
About six, maybe seven volumes of Vinland Saga available at the moment. And thanks to Tom and the rest of the guys at Turnaround for sending us this and Gundam Origins and a few other things. But Vinland Saga is available in all good comics bookstores, all manga stores, even. You know, right now, it's well worth picking up, though.
Yeah.
It's well worth picking up. Anyway, what you got?
To review this week, I have been given Drug and Drop by Clamp. So, like, by me saying it's Clamp, everyone instantly knows what it looks like. It's very JoJo.
It's a
Bishy
Fest. Yeah. It's a Bishy Fest.
Yep. In fact, the two main characters is a tall, strong, sort of mysterious guy and a short, cute, blonde-haired kid. Like, yep. This is Clamp. You don't even, like, it has Clamp on the cover of the book. You can tell without needing that.
Yeah, well, you know, Clamp City is the first stop on the Bishy train, so.
Yeah. So, Drug and Drop carries on from from Legal Drug, following the same characters working in the drugstore. Our two main characters are Kido and Himura.
Kido and Himura.
Yeah, I'm trying not to butcher names here.
It's all right.
So Kido has is a boy with the ability to gain people's supernatural ability to see people's memories. It's usually through like an object that they connect with. Himura has not sure how to describe it. Sort of a telekinesis like power. Like it's not. They don't ever go into like what this is. So like, but he uses break locks. Does a huge power magic missile looking thing with it. So they are sent to a strange shop that apparently grants wishes to do a job where they have to go to a house and find something that's like an object they've been given. It's quite a slow paced book. It's a lot more about the characters and their emotional states and how they're feeling than it is the actions that are going on. So it's very Clamp-esque. If you're a fan of Clamp, it's sort of things that you'd go for. But if you're not familiar with it, I'd say try Legal Drugs first. Like it's sort of, it drops in as though you know everything about this. It doesn't explain anything.
So it's very much for a continuation of Legal Drugs that's like, for fans.
Like I haven't read Legal Drugs, so I had to look into a lot of stuff so I understood what I was reading. Like I read it first, then I found out about it and things like, oh, that makes sense now. So it's got cool ideas around it. I like it. It's a bit slow paced for my taste, but it's decent.
Cool. Fantastic. Moving on, going to talk a little bit about Norman.
Okay.
Now, Norman is 8 years old.
It's also a serial killer, as the cover of the book told me.
Yeah, Norman's 8 years old and he kills people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how does something like that get to be made into a story? Well, according to Stan Silas, this is actually an interesting one because we got this from Titan Books. A is, on the back it says, A is for arterial spray, B is for blood-soaked, C is for corpses. And the on the back of it, it says, Norman, 8 years old, blonde-haired elementary school psychopath, looks so cute while burying his eviscerated friends in the sandbox. With humor as black as dried blood, Norman looks set to join the padded cell pantheon of murderous lunatics, and this time he's bringing his lunch money.
Yeah.
Now, this is volume one. Apparently there is a volume two coming out, and the art style is a little bit unusual. It's very, very kind of, it's kind of a cross between South Park meets anime.
Yeah, when I first looked at it, it kind of reminded me of The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, it's very similar art style to that. And the story is odd. It's about an 8-year-old psychopath.
Yeah.
The thing that I found most odd about it was the direction the story went in. Yeah. It got weird, as if an 8-year-old psychopath wasn't weird enough. It got very, very weird after that.
Yeah, it strikes me as something that can go a bit bizarre.
Very, very bizarre. I've read a lot of strange comics in my time.
Yeah.
And most of them were manga. and this is right up there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clones, for a start.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that caught you by surprise.
Can you elaborate on anything?
Well, I don't want to spoil the story for anyone who wants to read it, but there are clones, and there's a mad scientist.
Can you give us any art of what the story is?
Well, it's basically Norman. He is a psycho, and there are people in his class who are disappearing one by one, and nobody puts two and two together.
Okay.
Oh, and his teacher in school is all on the hunt for a boyfriend, which is why she doesn't put two and two together. So, yeah, that is Norman, in a nutshell.
So,
is it worth reading, though? That's the question. I don't know. I think it very much depends on your sensibilities. Because the thing is, it didn't really capture my attention in the same way that other comics and manga have done in the past.
Yeah.
It's fun as a single reading, but I don't think it's something that you'd come back to read later on.
Yeah, it's a fun one-off. It's like, yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example of it, but...
It's basically like Bleach. You can read it once and forget about it.
Yeah. Fair dues. Like, sometimes they're the best stories, though. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of things that I've watched once or read once, and that was enough. I haven't gone back to it. I might go back to it, like, 2 years later, like, hey, I remember that thing. Maybe I might read it again.
Yeah,
but
because
it's still really good. But, yeah. I'd still class that as a recommend.
It is, but, you know, it's not something I can recommend for long term. We'll see. When Volume 2 comes out, we'll see if it is just a one-trick pony or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. What have you got?
I have got Tank Girl.
Ooh.
Everyone loves Tank Girl. Tank Girl Solid State.
Isn't this the new one?
Yes, it is. Very different in style to the older ones as well. Like, it's the first time I've seen Tank Girl in a while, actually.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful. Like, before I talk about anything, it is one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. It's very chaotic and,
yeah.
Like, earlier you described it as anarchist, and I thought that was a great description of it, because that sort of, that builds into the character of who Tank Girl is. And the style of this is just, it captures the hecticness so well. Like, anatomy doesn't matter, perspective doesn't matter, like, just the energy matters,
if
you know what I mean. And this one, Tank Girl's boyfriend gets electrocuted, goes into a coma, and her and I'm trying to find the name of the characters.
Jet, sorry. Is it?
Jet Girl's in there, and also damn it. Well, her Jet Girl and another person I cannot remember the name of, go into a giant spaceship that looks like a sausage, and are shrunken down to the size of an amoeba and injected into a boyfriend to go find the damaged area and fix it. It's like, it's a storyline I've seen on a lot of cartoons and stuff, but it's got the very Tank Girl twists to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might be a storyline you've seen in other places, but this is Tank Girl, so it's not going to be like any of those.
Yeah, it's like in the first chapter, a large portion of it is spent inside the testicle.
Yes.
Because they were trying to make it to the brain, but they didn't.
They made it to the other brain.
Yeah, they went to the other side. As it's... crazy and chaotic, but like, the writing is hilarious, the way it's presented is amazing.
The artwork's one of the other style that's going to take a little bit of getting used to for some people.
Yeah, if you're wanting like the clean look, the very like easy to absorb thing, this isn't that. This is completely the opposite. It's like, it took me a few times, like, there was a panel I looked at for like 5 minutes, like, okay, I think I've got it now.
You make it sound like, you know those stereograms where you see all the dots and suddenly there's a cat.
Yeah, well, in certain points that is actually what it looks like to me. Like, it's all a blur, but an amazing blur. He is one of the greatest art styles I've ever seen. I love it because I love things that take things differently, and this is I can't expect more from Tank Girl, really. It's one of the things that always does stuff a bit differently.
I think I'm gonna have to read this.
Oh yes,
when
you're
done with it. You know, it sounds like my weekend in Amsterdam all those years ago. To use your words, it was all a blur, but an amazing blur.
So so he's a full recommend. Like, if you're offended by swearing, though, this isn't for you.
Yeah, that one's from Titan as well, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, cool. We have a lot to be thankful for Titan.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Okay. moving on to our next one, because we do have a main event later on, which is the big Tom over there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of keeping it to one side because it's so, so big and heavy.
Yeah.
It is. It's huge. Anyway, moving on to Gundam Origins, or Gundam The Origin, I should say. Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin. This is by Yoshikazu Yasuhiko. And this is effectively a retelling of the original Mobile Suit Gundam story in manga form. I've got to say, this is definitely a good way to be introduced to the Gundam manga.
Yeah.
You know, there's several volumes of this out already, and they're available at all good comic book stores. But the artwork in this is really, really good. And, they do have some coloured pages in here. The page quality, though, the paper quality is, I think, one of the best things about this because it's got good, thick pages.
Just the build of it is amazing. It's something to behold just looking at the thing itself.
Well, there's a big difference because this and Vinland Saga are both in hardback. And Vinland Saga looks like a thicker volume, but the Gundam one is heavier by a lot. Yeah, it's just kind of a testament to the quality of how it's made. But yeah, if you are into your mechs, if you are a Gundam fan, then you kind of owe it to yourself to get this manga because it is worth getting.
Yeah,
it is absolutely worth getting.
So like you said, it's great if you're not if you haven't followed Gundam at all.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get into it. If you
it's because it's in a manga form, because it's kind of in a book form. You're not tied down to watching episode after episode after episode.
Yeah, you can swallow it at your own pace, really.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You can read it on the bus. You can read it waiting for the bus. You can basically, read it while having your lunch. Not that I don't think you want to do that because you might not want to damage the book in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so much easier to digest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can spend your time, you can linger on it, you can read it as fast as you want.
Yeah.
It's up to you. But yeah, it's a really nice way of, because I've watched the original Mobile Suit Gundam. I've got to say, in terms of the story, I actually prefer the manga.
Well, the manga has a lot more time to develop things, really.
Yeah.
The anime, they're trying to be action-y, they're trying to keep a pace up, but with a book you can go at a more natural pace than the anime was.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a point there. You got a very good point there. Anyway, what's next, Ben?
Something I've been rereading, because I loved it so much, is Witchcraft Works.
I'm reading this as well.
I know Rob's reading this at the moment. I'm looking forward to the second one being released. I thought I'd reread the first one. The story of a average guy who just goes to school, has a normal life, is annoyed by the popular girl who always seems to be sat close to him, getting all the attention, and him getting a hard time because he's so close to the popular girl. And that all changes when a clock tower falls on him.
As happens in every story, everywhere.
Yeah, that age-old story, every guy, normal person has a clock tower dropped on them. Now, luckily he is saved before he dies by by the most popular girl in school, who is actually a fire witch.
They call her the princess or the queen, don't they?
Yeah,
something like that.
Like everyone at school calls her princess because she's like...
Was it Kagura or something like that? Or am I just thinking of Gintama all over again?
I think you might be right.
Kagari, that's it, Kagari.
Yes. Okay, she explains she's always been close to him because she is there to protect him from everything. And he is her princess.
Oh, isn't that cute? Aww.
So the thing I really love about this is how powerful she is.
Yeah.
And it takes the structure of what you establish in like the things you learn from all other mangas and it throws out the window. It's like, there's a scene where, like, he introduces all these rival witches, and they come in, and they look kind of like, in every other manga, you'd be sat there, like, going, okay, so these are, like, all the bosses are going to work way through. They're going to have to train and work hard, and then they're going to defeat one at a time. No, the next day, they're all strapped to spikes and are being burnt to death. Because you're just like, oh, yeah, they were causing problems, so...
Well, it's not that they're burned to death.
No, they escape, but...
Yeah. But they're on fire.
Yes.
This witch is on fire!
Is that he just... It took it in a way I wasn't expecting, really.
Yeah.
And it's just very funny, very entertaining. Like, every time a new witch appears, it's like, they'll have a go and just be instantly knocked down. It's like... And it's interesting to see the main characters,
yeah, that,
like,
Kagari
reactions.
Does lay the smack down quite a lot.
It's a very amusing read.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to take a break there for some news. We've got some news articles. Now, Superman has a new power.
Oh?
Yes. Superman has a new power, and they've named it as well.
Is it love?
No, actually, nor is it heart. No. In 1938, they gave him super speed. In 1938, they gave him super strength. In 1939, they gave him super hearing. And again, in 1939, they gave him X-ray vision and invulnerability. In 1941, they gave him flight. In 1949, they gave him heat vision. Do you know what they've given him now?
Mm.
They've called it Super Flare. I saw the title. I thought, what, bell bottoms? Is this a 1970s disco power? And then I saw he's actually on fire. Apparently, it's like a solar flare coming off him. But I would have preferred the disco power.
I don't get how this works. How? Why?
I'm not sure how it works either. Basically, because he gets his powers from the Earth's yellow sun, it basically makes him a giant solar battery. So... Perhaps when he uses Super Flare, he expels the stored up energy in the form of a giant blast.
Okay.
You know, the details should be
and
out.
And this has never come up in, like, the years and years.
Was it
like,
70, 80 years of Superman comics?
He never thought, I'm not going to use my powers at the moment. Oh, I exploded. Has that never come up in ever?
Sorry, you made it sound like something from Austin Powers. Oh, I fell over. Oh, I fell over again.
That's the problem. Like, and by the way, doesn't he have enough stuff? He has like all the powers, and like
he can punch a planet in half.
Apparently,
allegedly,
give Steel something. Steel doesn't have any powers. Give him something. It seems like adding more to a guy who already has everything. It's like, now Superman has the power to summon anything from a kitchen. Why? I don't know. He just gets that power.
He's not Superman anymore. He's Kitchen Utensil Man.
It just seems like...
Powered by Swan.
They just decided to give him another power. I don't get why they wanted to give him another power. I don't get why he needs another power. It's like, oh, he needs a solar flare because he couldn't do the heat eyes or punch something to death. He needed a new thing.
He needs a solar flare in case he loses his keys in the dark.
It's like,
because the X-ray vision's not going to help him. He can see through them instead.
So it just seems like it's adding an extra power to someone who doesn't need it. He has so many powers already. It reminds me, at this point, since I had new stuff, it reminds me of, like, when kids make up a superhero. And they're like, well, mine can do this. Well, yours can't do that because mine could do this. Negating your thing, like, well, mine can make it so everything around you goes dark. Well, mine could do a solar flare so he can see everything. You get what I mean?
I totally get what you mean. I don't understand why they've given him this power. Apparently, it's his most destructive power.
Oh, great, because he can't destroy anything right now.
Yeah,
oh,
it's logical.
He's just a sweet little kitty cat who can't hurt a fly.
Okay.
Didn't he level a city in the latest movie?
Yes, he did.
He did. Caused more destruction than Godzilla.
Yes. Anyway, moving across to the east, in a market that is filled, absolutely chock-filled, and I actually went through a list with Rob earlier on about this, in a marketplace that is chock-filled with manga magazines, Kodansha are releasing yet another shonen magazine called Shonen Magazine R. It kicks off in April.
Oh, thank God.
But, I mean, the list of all of them that are currently available is ridiculous. We're talking like, oh, I only got to M, and I was only halfway through the list, and I've already rattled off, you know, about 50 different magazines. How many magazines do you need just to cover manga?
Well, apparently one more needed.
No, I was about halfway through the list, remember. And I'd covered 50.
I think it's the same as Superman and Sons of Flight. It's like, oh, well, now my comic can do this as well.
Oh, no, we have a new manga magazine. Oh, no, we have another new manga magazine. Maybe this time it will be as successful as Shonen Jump.
Well, I guess
that's not how you get successful manga magazines.
Thing is it a magazine about manga or one that actually has
it includes them in there?
Well, then I sort of see it as can be a good thing, because if it's bringing more new manga to the marketplace, like, it might allow some like new breakout hits, some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, but as with any manga magazine, it's only going to be focused on the work by Kodansha manga artists. You know, it's not going to focus on any other amateur artists. It'll have its process for getting people in, but it's still going through all those hoops and all that bureaucracy and everything like that. Do you remember Bakuman?
Yes.
Right. Bakuman is a very idealized view of the manga industry.
Yeah.
It's very idealized because about half of them come from doujinshi. The other half usually come up through the ranks as they do in Bakuman. But there's another manga that I'm currently reading called Rin by Harold Sakuishi, the guy who wrote Beck.
Yeah.
Right. And the manga author, the mangaka part of it is very much a kind of a side thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an aspect of the main character, but it's not what he's all about. You know, it gets into kind of spiritual territory with past lives and stuff like that. It's quite interesting, but it's very slow. But anyway, in Rin, it actually has a much better depiction of what the manga industry is like in Japan, you know, when you try and become an author, a creator, that sort of thing. What happens is he has an editor who's a bit of a slimeball.
Yeah.
Right, and he wants to do particular stories, but his editor is pushing him to do more fan service, more erotic stuff, because that's what sells. You know, he says to him, oh, you do this story, you'll win this prize, you'll be a big name. And he's like, okay, I've got to do it. That's what he's telling me to do. And that's how it all kicks off, because it's a business after all.
Yeah.
So a lot of the more interesting stories get stopped even before they start.
That's why. You see, this sort of thing's happened in the game industry as well. What's popular gets recreated and recreated. But there's a huge indie scene now. And what
Which
manga
I'm
needs
loving.
Is that indie scene to get a way to speak out.
Some of the webcomics that we've been reading of this last year have been amazing. And I think webcomics have been a heavily overlooked area of graphic literature. And you and I both really like Girls of the Wild.
Yes.
I think it's cute. I think it's funny. I think it's charming. I like Jegu's character.
Yeah.
I like the character of the queen, how she's kind of so proud, but, you know, she doesn't want to admit that she's like...
I love how horrible of a person she appears at the start.
Yeah.
Just because of the way she...
Just because she doesn't know how to be any different.
Because she feels she needs to.
Yeah, that's
basically... And because of that, like, and then when someone called her out on it, the reaction was very interesting.
Yeah. But I have to say, I do like Moon Young and Choi Dal Dal.
Yes.
I think they would... The relationship between the two of them...
Oh, it's amazing.
It's hilarious. I think they're my two favourite characters in that series.
Yeah.
So, Moon Young is just like, she's brutal when she gets into like full on pro boxing mode.
Yeah. By the way, we haven't actually said what this is.
Yeah, we have.
This is about.
It's a Korean webcomic about a high school called The Wilds High. It's an all-girls school that's just decided to go co-ed, and they only have one male student who is. He's a high school guy called Jegu, and he looks after his younger sister and brother because after his dad died, his mother basically abandoned them. And he has a deep distrust of all women.
As you would.
Yeah. Now, he can only afford to go to school because of the scholarship that he was offered by Wilds High. And it's essentially a story about how he changes over time, but not just about how he changes, but about how the other...
The people around him, because this school is very concentrated on sport.
On beating people up.
Yeah, in martial combat, basically. They pride themselves on it. Every year they have the Wild Cup, is it? Where they basically have a tournament where everyone fights everyone, and it is brutal. And
let them fight.
Exactly. And... everyone is trying to be the greatest fighter, basically. And he doesn't want any of that. He just goes there because he's like, I want to get an education so I can get a better job and I can make a better life for my family.
Yeah.
And that's all he wants. And he gets dragged into this. And being the only boy, a lot of girls are interested in the only boy.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's an unusual situation he finds himself in, I've got to say. Moving on. CBS are apparently doing a Supergirl TV series.
Yes.
That's an unusual move, I think, because I know she's a reasonably popular character, but she's not really...
Well, the thing is, I think shows like these can create the popularity.
Yeah.
Like, because... I've seen it with Arrow and the Gotham one. I can't remember what it's called. The one that's based when...
Gotham.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. That's what it's called, Gotham. Right.
Like, people have heard of these things. They kind of like them.
Yeah.
But they never really managed to indulge because comics aren't for everyone.
By making it a TV series, I say it makes it more accessible.
Yes. And so... It's a good way to actually open up your fan base.
But I mean, it's Supergirl, and whenever I hear Supergirl live action, I automatically think of that horrible, horrible movie.
I haven't seen this horrible, horrible movie.
Don't watch the horrible, horrible movie. Please don't watch the horrible, horrible movie.
I don't plan to.
Anyway, apparently her first four is going to be called The Lumberjack.
Oh, okay.
Now you see why it reminds me of that horrible, horrible movie.
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, Supergirl's getting a TV series, and I'm not sure what to think of this. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. It could be amazing, don't get me wrong. It could be fantastic, but...
Like I've said, I never thought much of Arrow because I think the Green Arrow is a bit of a boring character.
Yes.
But the show looks really good.
The first season, when he was actually killing people,
he
was really good. When he stopped killing people, I went, he's just Batman now then. He's just a green Batman.
Is that like the fights against Deathstroke and stuff? They all looked very interesting.
For the second season... It got very kind of staid. And then the third season happened and it kind of, Deathstroke was back and he was going around killing people and, killing everyone. I was like, okay, now you're getting interesting again.
Yeah. So, that is, they have been getting progressively better with their TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, they're learning a lot. They're learning what they can do, what they can't do, what people like, what people don't like. So, it could be quite good. And, like, I don't have much care for, like you said, I don't have much care for Supergirl, but if they do it right, it could be really interesting. Well, I wasn't that fond of Smallville, and then in the late series, I thought it was really fun.
It was a lot better than that Superman and Lois Lane.
Yes, that's not hard.
But yeah, what was it? You throw me completely now. I'm just remembering Dean Cain in Red Underpants. I don't know why.
Whatever floats your boat.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Not at all. Not at all, Dean Cain. Never in a month of Sundays. Anyway, yeah, moving on. Let's move on from that. Because, yes, Attack on Titan.
Yes, everyone loves a bit of Attack on Titan.
What about Attack on Titan wine?
Well, not really a big fan of drink.
I don't get this. It does it, you know, is it Titan flavored wine or something like that? What is it?
It's the blood of a Titan. I don't know.
Anyway, I do know what it is. It's just basically normal wine that's labeled with Attack on Titan on it.
With obviously. An extra charge.
It's just basically, you know, the limited edition bottles whose labels feature art from the manga and the anime. It's done by Oyama Company's Hibiki no Sato. So, yeah, pay more for an exclusive Attack on Titan label. Keep it on the bottle to make sure it's worth money later on.
Yeah. It seems like an odd choice of things. Like, I don't really think, when I think of Attack on Titan, I don't think of people drinking wine. It seems like an odd choice. I guess the fan base over in, like, Japan might be different, but, like, over here is a lot of, like, younger people, like, teenagers and stuff, who aren't allowed to purchase wine.
Surely, if you're a fan of Attack on Titan, it would be beer or something like that. Isn't that more what they drink?
I don't know, just like alcohol in general. I don't think, like, at least the UK fan base for it aren't old enough to buy these products.
We'll use it. What about mead?
Yeah, that seems more fitting. Just like the time period it's sort of used. It seems about right.
Okay.
It's still an odd thing to think of promotional stuff.
Like, yeah, I know. I mean, I can even understand if they did like a Titan plushie.
Yeah. Well, they do.
Yeah.
It's like plushies, figures, cosplays, like prints, wall scrolls, the plethora of like the usual.
If you think stuff. About scaling for a second, right? If you thinking about scaling for a second, if a Titan plushie is say from say your wrist to your elbow in height.
Yeah.
Would a colossal Titan plushie then be about the size of a normal person?
Bigger.
Slightly bigger, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, like, that scaling kind of works with, like, some of the smaller Titans. Like, they're about the... Like, there's a lot of things of Titans picking people up in their hand. So if they're... Use that for scale. Yeah, some of the smaller Titans are the size of a person.
Okay.
In the scale, anyway.
Right. Anyway, moving on. You know how some fans of comics and manga can sometimes be kind of fanatical?
You don't say.
Well, this one kind of pushes that fanaticism out through the window, down the stairs, and, you know, drags it along behind it for the next, like, 100 miles or so.
Okay.
You know, there's a Superman fan who basically underwent hundreds of plastic surgeries to make himself look like Superman.
I did not know this, but
yeah,
I can see it happening.
Well, 37-year-old Henry Damon of Caracas, Venezuela, has long dreamed of looking like Captain America's arch nemesis, the Red Skull.
Oh.
So, he has had plastic surgery, had his nose, had the front part of his nose cut off.
Ooh.
And had his face tattooed to make him look like the Red Skull. A different version of the Red Skull to the one in the movie. Yeah.
Well, of course, you want to go with the classic one. Like, but...
Yeah, it's kind of... What?
I get you're a fan of something, but don't cut off your nose. It doesn't matter what you're a fan of, don't cut off your nose. That's just a general point for life. Don't cut off your nose.
That's not the only thing he did. You know those implants that you can get under the skin?
Yes.
That make things bulge out? He's had those planted on his forehead as well.
Why? Why?
He looks completely alien. He doesn't look human anymore.
Of course he doesn't. He doesn't have a nose and he's got a bulge on his head.
Several bulges on his head.
Several bulges.
I mean, these are things that could be achieved with makeup. for yes. much cheaper.
And less lasting effect.
Yeah. Because you just peel your face off afterwards, you know, while Scooby-Doo watches.
What's he going to do for a living? Is there much demand for a Red Skull at your kid's birthday party? Or because I can't see him working a bank or anywhere, because who's going to hire the Red Skull?
I'm sorry, but that's like that's like during the 80s, you know, kids' parties, they always invite people to kids' parties. You know, they get like clowns and stuff like that. That's like being, you know, having a kids' party during the early 80s and inviting somebody to play Darth Vader. Anyway, on to the main event, which today is the DC Comics Encyclopedia from Dolan Kindersley.
Yes.
Now, this is a veritable tome.
It is shouge.
You could kill someone with that.
You'd have to really want to, but yes, you could.
Yeah, but you don't want to damage... It's a pretty fabulous book, though, and I don't mean that in the fabulous way. I mean it in the fantastic way.
Yes, and we've been looking through it, like, seeing what bizarre and unique characters there are in it.
Oh, my God.
It seems to have everyone. I couldn't think of a single character, no matter how obscure I went, that wasn't in there.
I was looking through it, I kept thinking, I haven't seen him in ages. Oh, I remember that story that he was in. Oh, the index of characters is just ridiculously long.
Yeah, it's like, it is 10 odd pages of an index just to get through all the characters.
And they do mention some of the events that have gone on in the DC universe, you know, they, by extension from the characters. I mean, the character of Wave Rider, for example, they mention Armageddon 2001. But they don't, you know, and there's a couple of things from like War of the Gods and various others. But I think the main ones that they focus on are stuff like Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, Infinite Crisis, yeah. The Birth of the New 52, yeah. Stuff like that.
So he basically covers everything that's happened in the comics, everything that's like holds as the canon now. Yeah. He talks about the stuff that's like non-canon a bit, but it
doesn't really go into the kind of realms of the movies, the cartoons, the video games, that
yes,
sort of thing.
Just the comics themselves.
Yeah. But in terms of just the comics themselves, it is phenomenal.
Oh, it is. It's like going through, like, anyone knows me who knows I'm really into Suicide Squad at the moment. So I looked up King Shark, and yeah, it's talking about like how his teeth can pierce Kryptonian skin. I didn't know that, but that's awesome. That's why, he was originally appeared in the Superboy comics.
Yeah.
And that's why he was a decent villain for him, because he could actually cause harm.
Yeah. And it goes through, you know, Deathstroke. It goes through a couple of his iterations.
Yeah.
There's like an entire few pages dedicated to the major characters, though. You know, Superman, Batman.
I think you sort of have to.
Yeah. The Joker one was pretty interesting, though, with the different versions of the Joker around. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And
because there have been so many different iterations of the different characters, and they go into like, they don't go into all of them, like, yeah, for the less characters, but for the major ones, they like to talk as much as they can about them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Anyway, let's pick a couple of characters out.
Okay.
See what it says. You go first.
Okay. I'm going to have a look, see if I can find the Rocket Red Brigade.
Who are they?
I'm not sure, I just found him in the index. I thought I'd see if I can find... first appearance in Green Lantern Corp, number 208, January 1987. He basically has a load of information about everything, and he doesn't seem to be like a character of any real importance, but they still went through and found like everything they needed.
It's not going to cover all of them, though, is it?
No, earlier I was looking for the Ten-Eyed Man, because like, he's one of the weirdest and most obscure characters I can think of, and he did not appear to be in here.
Like, I don't know this character.
This is a Batman villain who got his retinal nerves attached to his fingertips so he could see out of all his fingers. He can't see out his eyes, but he can see out his fingertips. And they usually beat him by throwing something hot or something so he catches it.
Do you know what? Do you know? I just realized what that reminds me of.
Do tell.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, he's like that, but with eight on.
And you had seen that guy in Pan's Labyrinth before. Yeah, he's a Batman villain.
So he doesn't. It doesn't cover everything.
Yeah.
Like, but Ten-Eyed Man was a pretty obscure one for me to look up.
Yeah, but it's got most of the bit.
Yeah, and the fact that it covers not only Batman, but the entire DC universe. There is just so much.
How many pages is it? How many pages long is it?
It goes up to... Before we get to the index, it is 385.
Wow.
So that's
385 pages of just...
Yeah, just information about people. And, like, I had a quick look up at, like, Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, 20-odd pages on it because it goes through every member of Teen Titans.
There's been a few.
And there has been a few.
Well, if we assume, say, five characters per page.
Yeah.
For 385 pages. Holy cow, that's 1,900 DC characters.
Yep. And there's an insane amount of DC characters, because for every hero they make, they need to make a world with different characters. Yeah.
Different, it's not going to be five per page all the time, though.
Yeah,
so.
There are like larger spreads on like the big names, and you find out some interesting stuff. They talk about all the different variations of them, and
but I mean, it sounds like they've got well over 1,000 DC characters in there.
Yeah,
that's, I've never heard. I don't think I even know 1,000 DC characters. I think I know like 20, and that's it.
I think I'd be struggling to like get 100. Like, I think 100 I could name them, but most of them will be guesses that just happen to be right.
Because I could get to 100. I could get to 100 as well. You know, Superman from Earth 1, Superman from Earth 2, Batman from Earth 1, Batman from Earth 2, Batman from Earth Prime.
If we don't count alternate universe versions.
Like, okay, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan,
Green Lantern, the other Green Lantern, the other Green Lantern, the other Green Lantern,
Alan Scott,
Flash,
Green
the other Flash, Kid Flash.
No, Green Lantern, Alan Scott, Green Lantern, Barry Scott.
Yes.
With his sillet bang.
It's such a huge volume of information. Like, if you're a huge fan of DC, I recommend getting it because... Like, even if you are the biggest fan and you can name all those characters, I think you'll probably still find a few things that you did not know in this.
Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Yeah, my brain just went left field again. I started thinking of all those conventions I've been to where there's some kind of uber comics nerd, like, you know, who's sitting there and asking questions from the most obscure characters.
Actually, in issue 149 of... The Ten-Eyed Man.
Yeah.
He had...
They probably know the Ten-Eyed Man.
His actual eyes were working. What was happening there?
Yes.
There's always that one guy.
Yes, there is always that one guy. Sometimes he is me.
a lot of the time he's you.
He's been you a couple of times as well.
Oh, yes. It's been me as well. I think we've all got a little bit of that guy in us. So I'd love the idea
you
of, like, a load of, like...
That.
A load of, like... Writers sat there, like, on, like, the DC panel with this book, like, so someone names someone really obscure, like, okay.
It's like the teacher's
guide. Give me a second.
Do you know The Simpsons, where the teachers have the books that tell them how to do the lessons? It's like that for analysts at comic shows.
So for any big fan of DC comics who likes...
I think any fan of comics in general... would want this book.
He has to be someone who's interested in the information behind it.
I don't know.
There's some people I know who just... they read comics just for, like, the moment.
Just because,
But this is for the people who like to know. They like to read up about stuff. And it's very interesting.
Being a more general comics fan, it's the kind of thing that I would like to have. Number one, because it looks impressive on my shelf.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not sure I have a shelf big enough to put it on.
Well, the thing is, if you're going to have a nerd out with somebody, then you want to really kind of pull out the big guns, and I can just say, DC Comics Encyclopedia, you don't have that, do you? But that's only if I'm going to have a nerd off with somebody.
Yeah.
But I like it because of the information contained in it, mainly. It covers a lot of things that even I wasn't aware of. And I've been a comic book fan for, what, 30-odd years? So,
if you're interested in, like, in the laws, the origins, all of the, like...
Admittedly, it doesn't go into detail, too much detail about it.
There's too much to go into high detail with.
It's more of an overview. This is what happened. Yeah. This is how it affected. And they even reference The Last Son of Earth. Superman, which I found quite interesting because it's the story. It's basically the opposite of the Superman origin story. So instead of Superman coming from Krypton, he is sent to Krypton from Earth.
Yeah.
And he's basically, you know, and because Krypton is different, he can't really walk around on Krypton, stuff like that, because it's a completely different world. And then he finds a power ring, a Green Lantern power ring, and that allows him to walk around normally. Comes back to Earth and meets Lois Lane and his most hated enemy, Lex Luthor. Everything kicks off from there. And he becomes kind of this Green Lantern Superman type character.
Yeah.
But I like the spin on it. I like the fact that they were willing to look into what if it was the other way around.
Yeah. There is an interesting take on the story, like, because a lot of Superman's powers originated from, like, him getting the power from the sun because he's a Kryptonian and how his body reacts to our Earth. But how would it be different the other way around? And it's just...
Yeah.
It's cool ways to take stories. I like alternative versions that are like that.
Well, I mean, you like the Elseworlds stuff that DC did for a while as well.
Yeah.
As a great Batman one, steampunk Batman one called Master of the Future.
Yeah.
It's it's gloriously Victorian steampunk and makes no apologies for it.
I'm pretty sure all steampunk stopped at Victorian time fashion. They're like, okay, this is how far we're going to get. Stop developing fashion.
Sorry, I often find it hilarious that that the whole about the whole ankle thing, you know, is a Victorian thing. You know, she's showing her ankles.
Show them Mickey Minaj and see what they think now.
Yes, I know. My word, what is she wearing? What is she singing about? What is an anaconda? Anyway, we're going to wrap this up. We have been Four Panel.
Yep.
We'll be back next week with more discussions and reviews of whatever gets thrown at us and whatever takes our fancy.
Yay.
Okay. We may throw some news in that as well.
Yep.
Okay, we'll see you all next week.
Bye.